This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Hey!
with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
That was a beautiful intro.
Yes, bye. It was.
That was we came into land.
Johanna James and Alex Hoban.
And Alex Hoban.
Not Noel Clark.
Welcome to Background Chill. It's Friday. It's just gone 4 p.m. The weekend, I think it's officially started. We can just say that
it
right
is.
Now.
I've got that Friday feeling.
It's happened. I'm joined today by Alex Hoban.
Hey, what's good?
Who is, if people don't know who you are, you've been a guest on the show already. This is your second time.
Approximately 2 weeks ago, I think, to the day.
Brilliant. We've boomeranged right back.
Yes.
And so what do you do?
So,
day by day and by night.
By day, I work for a great company called Unilad. And by night, I make comedy videos on Facebook on my own page, Alex Hoban. Little plug there. Go follow Alex.
No. You do. You make really, really funny videos. So that's. It's weird, isn't it? So by day, you work for one of the biggest. I could say the godfather of Facebook, really.
That's it.
Is there a bigger page?
We run the game.
Is there a bigger page?
No. Well, there's bigger pages, just less engaged and not as good.
I see. Because they've got like, what, 22 million people?
25.
Oh my gosh, it's gone up since I last checked those stats. Okie doke. Oh my. You think you forget how many people there are in the world?
Yeah, especially on a social media platform. It's crazy.
That's insane.
But yeah, so I do that. Do other bits as well. Work with yourself on some comedy videos. Whoa, I just broke a pen. Apologies for that, guys. Sorry, FUBAR Radio, for that. I will buy another.
It's all right. Noel breaks the chair every time.
Yeah,
so
well, okay, Noel, chair is actually on good form today, so chin up.
I know, friend. I was like, mate, if Noel was here.
Yeah, okay.
That chair would be broken. Right, we've got a jam-packed show for you today. We've got exclusive interviews with Terrell Alvin McCraney and Barry Jenkins, who's the writer and director of that new film, Moonlight, which their posters everywhere. They've done a big push for it at the moment. I got to see the movie before. It's not out yet, but I got to have a little exclusive screening.
Are you allowed to say out of 10 yet, or do we have to wait for the official...
What?
Interview out of 10.
Out of 10. Well, normally they do films out of 5, but
okay.
I'm going to...
Let's go for that then.
I'll say it was, for me, a 3-4 out of 5.
Okay, nice.
Three and a half.
That's good. That's got me excited.
Because it's a beautiful film, powerful. Felt it was quite slow. But I'm going to review it later, so we'll do that later on in the show. We've got Lucy Patterson in at 5:20 to review films. We're going to be telling you what is hot and what is not to spend your money on, because it does so much to go to the cinema now.
Yes,
I went to the cinema. I went to see 50 Shades with my friends, and it was like £15, and I was like, is it worth it?
Yeah. I mean, I go to the cinema, the Ritzy in Brixton.
Oh, wow.
And that is like upwards of £15. It looks like a theatre. It's a great experience, but...
Don't they have Ritzy Tuesdays or Ritzy Mondays that are like £6 or £7
No,
or
they
something?
Do. There is a reduced one. But it just happens to be my luck that I always go on the most expensive day, I think.
Like a bit... price tiered every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we've also got other guests. We've got Alex Vlahos. How do you say his name? I'm not sure.
Alex Vlahos.
Vlahos. He was on BBC Merlin, and he's here to promote his new play in London, which is so exciting. And I've got so much entertainment news. I spent all day yesterday researching, and there is just so much going on right now in the world of movies and this and that. I'm so excited.
There is. I went to see Lion the other day.
Not Train.
Speaking of me, yeah, okay, earlier I did say I went to see a great film. It was called Train. There is a train in the film, spoiler alert, but yeah, I got confused. It was actually Lion, and it was very
Lion.
Emotional. It had me crying most of the time.
Yeah, my parents went to see it. I missed it. It's kind of going off the cinemas now, so try and grab and see it if you can. But I missed the screening last night. But there... that's the film about the young little boy in India who gets lost from his mum.
Yeah, so he loses his parents when he's a kid and gets adopted. But then it's a big story about how he goes back and searches for his parents mm-hmm. over a long period of time. It's actually the guy from Slumdog Millionaire, which I didn't realise before.
And Skins.
Yeah, who is now an absolute Adonis. He's very good looking.
I know. Right, can we just appreciate this? So obviously back in the day I used to watch Skins, and he played I don't know what his name was in Skins, but Dev Patel from Skins, and he always played the kind of goofy kind of skinny guy. And then even in Slumdog he was kind of that kind of adorable skinny geek.
Yeah.
And then suddenly boom.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got facial hair. He's built. I was like, when did Dev Patel get hot?
He's got those long flowing locks that I've been working so hard to achieve, and my hairline's just receding, unfortunately.
Damn it, Dev.
Yeah.
Because there was all this funny, I remember years ago, he used to go out with Frida Pinto,
okay.
who was the really gorgeous girl from Slumdog Millionaire. And everybody ripped out of him being like, oh, you're punching, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now, ha!
Yeah, exactly.
Because apparently they broke up, so that's probably why he's looking so amazing.
There's this one scene where he comes out of the water in his wetsuit. And he's like, obviously his stomach is really cut up in like a six pack style. And I was there with my missus actually in the cinema, and I just looked it over and I was like, yeah, if I ever got the chance to wear a wetsuit, that's what I'd look like. Much to her dismay, because that is nothing what I look like, as I'm sure you will see at some point today when the cameras come on.
Maybe
when it comes to the summer, I'd have lost a few pounds. We'll see.
My boyfriend is famous for his chubby belly. So
Jube. What a man.
Can you imagine him in a wetsuit?
I know. So the punching joke actually gets used against me and Jube quite a lot.
Yourself
and Millie.
Yeah, I actually heard him say that at the Christmas soiree that we had earlier in the year, last year. Yeah, I heard my boyfriend say to your girlfriend.
So Dev.
Wow, he's punching.
Yeah, tell me your secrets, Dev. If I can possibly turn from punching to not punching, that'd be great.
That'd be good. So stay tuned. We've also got music, which I try every week to try and keep it in line with the movies I've seen or the movies I'm enjoying or the movies that I've forgotten about. So what have I got? Let's play a little bit from the most recent thing I saw, which was 50 Shades Darker. This is Zayn and Taylor Swift, which I think is a bit of a weird collab.
Zayn
from the X One Direction and Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And Zayn sings higher than Taylor in this, so we'll give that a little listen. But
50 Shades.
50
Let's
Shades Darker.
It.
Oh, that sounds like a really bad film. My boy.
50 Shades Darker.
Okey-dokey's back row and chill. Yeah,
The Batman Lego edition of 50 Shades Dark.
50 Shades of Bad. Okay, here we go. It's I Don't Want to Live Forever. This is Bat Road Chill.
Been sitting eyes wide open behind these four walls, hoping you come. Existence like it's no point hoping at all. Baby, baby, I feel crazy. Up all night, and every day. Give me something, but you said nothing. What has happened?
I don't wanna feel it, babe.
Wherever
keep calling your name
till you come back home.
Okay, no. Oh, how can he? No, he must like squeeze his balls to get to that
Zane,
hemisphere
man.
Of singing. But
making money though,
I know. The, like, can you imagine a song being on the soundtrack of 50 Shades?
Tay Tay as well.
Oh, Tay Tay, are you a fan of Taylor?
I am, big fan actually.
I'm annoyingly a fan.
Yeah.
I don't like her, but I like her songs.
Post Ed Sheeran era, she's been a bit avers, to be honest. Don't you think?
Maybe.
What was her? What was that banger? I can't remember. Sorry.
One of her last songs.
Blank space.
Oh yeah, no. I liked Shake It Off.
Okay. Yeah. Same album, I feel, but
yeah,
it was
I think it was. Right, so competitions. This year we've been running competitions every week to win shit on the show. And we can announce our winner from last week's show on the Twitter is Jake Westmore. Well done, Jake!
Jakey boy!
Now, unfortunately, we can't speak to him because I think he lives on the other side of the world, and like calling into the studio is not going to work because he's probably asleep right now. But we are going to tweet you, Jake, so don't worry. And if you didn't win this week, don't worry because we've got another thing for you to win. So Jake won. He won our train spotting competition. And this week we're going to be running another Brotherhood competition. So if you have yet to see Brotherhood, or if you've seen it and you want to own the DVD yourself, we're going to be giving away a signed copy. Noel signed the DVD, he signed the poster and the album, including which has got like Stormzy on Captain Conan and all these cool people. So do it now. So if you go to @FooBarRadio on Twitter and just make sure you're following and retweet the picture we're posting right now. And next week we are going to pick our winner and I'll announce it on the show and we can try and call you and get you on the show if possible. So go now, go and do that now. I'm gonna give you like 3 seconds of airtime, just go do that. We're gonna do nothing, so go.
And if you haven't seen Brotherhood, make sure you go and check it out because it is awesome.
It is. Oh yeah, you came to the premiere, didn't
you? I did, yes. It was amazing.
Alex came to the prem,
a little premiere. I wasn't on the red carpet like Johanna in her flowing dress.
I was
with the riffraff.
It's one of the first times ever that I've worn a dress with a trail. Stormzy stood on it.
The night was full of Stormzy. I met him in the toilets. He stood on your dress. It was an interesting night.
We both had moments, little moments with the man.
But did you hear about him this week? He got his, his door knocked down.
Yeah.
Because they thought he was robbing the place when actually he lives there in Chelsea. Awkward.
Oh my God, that is so...
His neighbours rang the police on him. That's what I read. That disclaimer, that might not be true, but that's what
I read. I read that, and I've seen a photo of his, like, bashed down door.
Yeah. I would not like to mess with him. He is about 7 foot tall.
I know, he's absolutely huge, but a huge, like, angel. Like, he's so lovely and not intimidating at all, apart from his stature, maybe.
Speak for yourself.
But, oh my gosh, like... I mean, that's awkward, isn't it? That's racial discrimination at its peak.
It is.
I mean, to be fair on the neighbours, Stormzy is all the time. He's all over the world. So he's probably not home a lot. Yeah, so they probably haven't quite met him yet.
But I think he'd been to the BAFTAs with Noel about Full Brotherhood at the time or something like that.
Yeah.
So he was suited and booted. And anyone that robs a house in black tie...
In a tux.
It's pretty bold. But, yeah, that
James
was...
James Bond style.
Stormzy news of the week.
We should have a little Stormzy...
February edition.
segment. Brilliant. So yeah, get on there, get on, follow us on Twitter, and just follow us anyway because there's loads of funny stuff on there. And if you want to speak into our show, what's the word I'm looking for?
Call in.
If you want to call in or contact us, you can email us directly. It's chill@foobarradio.com. Any emails we get in, we will try and read out and shout you out. Because we want to know what you're up to this weekend. What films are you loving, or theatre shows, or what are you hating more specifically as well? That's they're more fun. What have you found really crap?
Apart from oh my God, this new presenter is so rubbish. We'll
do that. You know, let's how's Alex doing? Let's give him a
in comparison to Noel. Put me on a pedestal against Noel. That'd be great.
Right, do you want a bit of entertainment news?
Go for it.
Bit of what's going on? Because there is just so much. Well, the first thing that I'm really excited about, because my favourite film in the world is Hook.
Okay.
The Robin Williams Peter Pan sequel.
Okay, I got it now.
Oh my gosh, love that movie. So apparently the actor who played Rufio, you know, the teenage boy with the Rufio,
he
is making a prequel.
Okay. To Peter Pan or to The Hook? No, not The Hook. To Hook.
To Hook. He's making a Rufio prequel. So it's going to be all about the backstory of Rufio. Apparently he was called Rufus and how he got put into a foster home, ended up in Neverland.
Okay.
How he became the leader of the Lost Boys since Peter Pan left. Because in that film, they just turn up and he's now the leader of the Lost Boys. There's a lot more Lost Boys. And for some... how he's like now the new Peter Pan. So they're looking for that and also how he got his really cool mohawk as well. So Dante Basco is the actor who's been doing that. And he is, but he's self-funding it, or he's trying to get it funded. So he's putting it on Kickstarter.
Okay.
And they need to get like 30 grand to try and make this film. And they're looking for, at the moment, there's open auditions. So if you are somehow... if you're listening from LA, they're looking for local children in LA.
Oh, is it LA only?
LA only, yeah.
I reckon I'd be a wicked Lost Boy.
I know. Well, me too. I wanted to be the first Lost Girl.
Okay, that's nice. Mixing it up.
I remember watching the movie when I was younger and I was being like, I want to be a Lost Boy. And my brother was like, you can't be a Lost Boy because you've got Willy. I was like, well, I want to be the first Lost Girl.
Yeah, so nice.
I had no interest in being a Wendy. I was like, I can't cook. I can't tell you stories. I'll just, nah.
I went to see Peter Pan in South Bank.
At the National?
Yeah, in November. Ooh. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I hadn't seen Peter Pan in 10 plus years.
So
me, that brought back a lot of memories. And I kind of learnt the storyline again. So yeah, let's get this kicking on Kickstarter and get some money.
If anyone wants to, and the film's going to be called Bangarang.
Oh, Bangarang.
Bangarang!
Isn't that a song?
Yeah, it is. By Skrillex. Okay. Bangarang!
Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
We both sang different songs there. So, Google Dante Basco or Bangarang or the prequel to Hook and it's going to come up and you can just pledge like £5 and then maybe you can see this film made, which is, I'm really excited to see that.
Okay, are you going to get a little plane ticket over there, go for the audition?
I could. Hi, guys.
You've been auditioning a bit recently.
I've been secretly auditioning. I like snuck out to LA the other day. Right, so Star Wars. So there's been rumours going around this week that Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is the main girl in Fleabag, this BBC series that's just been like blowing up since last year, and she's so funny. If you haven't seen Fleabag, Google that. I think it's on BBC Two now. Anyway, so Phoebe Waller, she's really, really good comedian, and she's been claimed that she was going to get a role in the new Star Wars, and she's going to be the first ever female main character droid.
Oh, wow.
So that was what was going on, and I was like so excited. And apparently Phoebe has now said... she's dismissed the rumours and said, no, that's not true.
Oh, no way.
But I don't know whether it's her just like, whether maybe a secret was leaked and now she's trying to squash it. I don't know. I'm hoping because I really like her.
Maybe she's under NDA, as it's known.
Exactly. So she's had to go, oh, no, I don't know nothing about that. But it's a bit of a random, very precise rumour, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, droids in Star Wars are possibly the best characters, I feel. Like, the one in Rogue One was amazing. C-3PO, legendary. Mm-hmm. But and R2-D2, actually. But that new one, I can't remember its name, the big black... shapely robot guy,
yes.
Really tall. He was so funny.
He was the comedic relief in Rogue One. So Suicide Squad 2, say that 10 times fast. It's apparently it's confirmed, even though the first one was awful. And lots of people are in talks to direct it. And at the moment, Mel Gibson has confirmed that he is in talks with Warner Brothers to direct Suicide Squad 2.
Amazing.
So, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know what the story would be, but...
I'm awfully sorry that I've forgotten that lady's name that's in Suicide 1. Suicide Squad
Robbie.
1. Oh, my days. Please tell me she's in Suicide Squad 2.
I'm going to hope so. She was the best thing about the first film. So
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. I know, right?
That is Halloween 2016, though.
Comic-Con.
Everyone was that.
Everyone was Harley Quinn and Comic-Con as well.
Yeah. I even went as Harley Quinn. I think she just had the monopoly on Halloween in 2016.
She was just insane. Okay, and so Thor 3 is coming out, which is called Thor Ragnarok, I think.
Thor Bangarang.
Thor Bangarang, we'll call it that.
Let's go.
That's so much better. And apparently it promises to keep you laughing, and it contains the craziest action scenes in MCU history, which is a very bold statement to ever say about a film, that it contains the craziest action sequences in history. So I'm like, oh, let's see.
Okay, Chris Hemsworth, what's your thoughts?
Only as Thor.
Okay.
He has to have like that's the fair. Long hair that's and fair. The hammer and the weirdly like
the yeah. hammer that no one else can touch.
Exactly. I like that.
Strong. You just like having a hammer that no one else can pick up.
Well, my boyfriend does, you know.
Oh, tube tube.
Yeah, no one else can touch the hammer.
Wow.
I just forgot comment. That my parents listened to this show. Hi, no Mum. Okay, and lastly, Jennifer Lawrence has signed up to play a spy in the new spy thriller called Red Sparrow. It's about a sexy Russian spy who falls for a CIA agent and then has to consider double agenting. Mm. Is that a word? Agenting?
Yeah.
Probably not. I love Jennifer Lawrence.
So do I.
She's like my ultimate girl crush.
I actually watched Passengers the other day.
Yep.
Which... you see her in a nice white mm-hmm. not bikini, swimsuit,
that's bathing, what I meant. Suit.
Bathing suit in this amazing spaceship setting, which just seemed to it blew my mind, as I'm sure it did most of the male population and female population actually.
I mean, what luck if you're going to be stuck on a cruise ship, spaceship
yeah
for 100 years, why not be with her? Can you imagine?
Was it luck though?
Better see the movie. If you haven't, Passengers was pretty good. I think, okay, right, that's at the moment, that'll be enough. We've got a little bit more what's going on in the world, entertainment news coming after the next song. So now I'm going to play, let's have a little look what we can do. Oh, I'm from talking about the film Lion/Train, whatever you like to call it. This is Never Give Up by Sia, which was in the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet, so you're going to have to tell me whether or not it's in it.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Okay, let's give it a go. It's Back Row and Chill.
Abandon me, but I won't ever give up, no, never give up, no.
and Chill with Johanna James and
Alex Noel Hoburn.
Alex Noel Hoburn.
That is not my middle name, I was just joking.
And we are joined today by our first guest in the studio. We've got Alex Vlahos.
Yeah, there Vlahos. You go. Vlahos. Smashed it, first time, good job.
Brilliant. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to get closer to the microphone because I see people in the box shouting at me.
Oh, yep. Okay,
the box.
Is everybody's mics up and around? Yeah, brilliant. Okay so, Alex.
I've got the death stare.
You are an actor.
I am, yeah.
Thespian, co-thespian. And you are here to talk about, well, let's go back a bit and let's talk about what you used to do. And then we can go right up to the present day.
What did I used to do?
Well, I heard that you were in BBC Merlin.
Oh, God, yeah. Years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
That was such a show.
Yeah.
How long are we talking? What time of year, like what year were you in Merlin?
So I was in season 5.
Season 5, okay.
One, yeah. Came in and ruined everything. I was the baddie that
I didn't
basically
want to say anything.
I was the baddie that basically like stopped the show getting a season 6.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so when I go to conventions, a lot of people turn up and they're like, "You're the reason why I cry at night."
For you, yeah.
And I'm like, "I'm sorry, hardcore, but you do realize it's acting and I'm not actually Mordred from Merlin. I don't actually have my own chainmail set at the house, you know."
Damn it.
Yeah.
Should have brought it in.
Ah. Mate, yeah.
Not good on radio.
Was it real chainmail? Or was it?
No. Plastic with the spray to like look like real.
Okay. Don't ruin it though.
Sorry,
for all those
magic
Merlin believers.
The magic of TV.
The magic of
the BBC medieval unit. Yeah. Brilliant. So you used to do the BBC and then more currently you're doing theatre.
I am, yeah. I'm doing a play called La Ronde at the Bunker Theatre. Yeah.
I've heard about the Bunker.
It's beautiful. I mean, beautiful in that sort of underground car park sort of way.
Yes.
Rustic. That's the right word to use,
right? Atmospheric.
Atmospheric, yeah. Mm-hmm. Concrete. Ooh, yeah, modern.
Mm. Exactly. Bunker does scream concrete.
It does, exactly.
La Ronde, that sounds very Francais. Or is it? No, not.
German.
It's German.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, Austrian. The guy that wrote the original play, Arthur Schnitzel, I think that's the way to pronounce it. But he did it. It was like in the 1800s, and it was so controversial of a play that they didn't perform it until 1920, like the end.
Or
1820. I don't know. But so we're doing a sort of modern adaptation of the play that's written and directed by Max Gill. So yeah, it's cool.
And who do you play in it?
I play everything. So this is the concept. There's 10 scenes, 10 characters, and there's 4 actors, and the 4 actors have to learn the whole script.
Wow.
And then in between each scene, we spin the roulette wheel. There's a massive roulette wheel at the back of stage, and that dictates who we play on the night.
There's a possible
3,000 combinations.
That's amazing.
It's amazing for people to watch, but to be guy,
yourself,
or like all 4 of us,
so
we walk
tough.
On and we're going, God, why do I do this to myself?
Oh my God, I worry about remembering just, my lines.
Yeah,
Gosh, imagine if you're...
It's basically like playing Hamlet. That's how many words there are. So yeah, it's ridiculous.
And ridiculous. So they're all in there. Oh, that would be so funny if you played it, if you had like a wet run and you did it drunk and you're spinning the roulette wheel and be like, I think that would
make it more challenging.
Is that me? Is that you? Or you start answering you, right?
Well, that's what happens when we start, like, you know, when you dry on stage or you forget your line, you're so blessed to have someone opposite you who can feed you the line because you know the whole script.
Oh, sure, everybody knows
everyone
everything.
That's a good
very,
strategy.
Very, very supportive, which is lovely.
And have you gone live yet? Have you started or is it?
Yeah, so we previewed on Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. we pressed on Monday, and now it's, as you just told me, it's Friday, which days make no sense to me.
So you've been down in a bunker for this whole week. So you
I
know,
have,
you
I've been
know.
Underground, I've no idea.
It's
like
2017.
Is it?
February?
It's February.
Yeah, no, yeah. So when we run until March the 11th, I think.
Oh,
so.
Got a nice little time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come along.
Yeah,
100%. A week in, how many characters have you had to play, roughly?
So you can only, maximum you can play is 4.
Okay.
Just because of the combinations. Yeah, yeah. And the minimum you can play is 0. Sometimes you could potentially not go on in an evening.
Oh, because it doesn't...
Because if the wheel doesn't pick you, then you don't go on.
Oh, okay.
On press night, one of the actors only played one scene. On press night, obviously, you know, agents, casting directors, friends, family. And the wheel was just getting to like scene 8. Scene 9, and the audience were just like, oh, in despair, because bless him, he just didn't get to go on.
Oh, the audience get to see the wheel as well.
Yeah, the wheel is part of the set. It's this huge roulette wheel at the back of the stage.
Amazing.
And we have these sort of mug shots that we put up blog with Velcro, and then we spin the wheel, and then that dictates who's playing what character.
So okay, that's really interesting.
It's, I got told I'm allowed to swear, so I'm going to do it. It's fucking mental.
I love seeing the guests, like, their first ever curse word.
Yeah, it comes out hard, doesn't it?
It's like, comes out hard, but then also apologetically.
Yeah, like, so sorry.
My parents,
they hate it, and they don't like swearing, but sometimes they do, so they kind of weirdly whisper it. So that I'm like, Mum, if you're going to just swear, just commit to it. Commit to say it.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I can't.
No, I can't.
No.
Your mum sounds sweet.
She's a sweetie. Can't quite commit to the swearing. Not yet.
My mum's very well spoken, but if you rub her up the wrong way,
she comes out. She's a dark horse.
Yeah,
okay.
It is. Yeah, I had an experience once in a car where my dad was on the phone trying to figure out how to work the cooker. We had just got a new cooker, and I was trying to contribute, and my mum was trying to explain at the same time, you know, having that bit of back and forth, and she goes, "Will you shut the f up?" And I went, by the way, I was like 22 at this point. Yeah, sorry,
I think
Mom.
It's worse when you're older.
Yeah, it is.
I've never heard my dad swear either. He's not a swearer. I think the worst he ever did was he called me a git. He was like, "You tricky little git," and I was like, "Whoa, Dad!"
When you dust off one of the old swear words back in the day,
git, really? Yeah. Let's bring Let's recycle that.
Burk is my favourite. Burk.
So, how did you get involved with the play La Ronde? Did you audition, or did you know somebody in the production?
So, I've just been filming a TV series called Versailles on BBC, and I just finished filming the second season, and that's about 7 months filming in Paris.
The French King one.
Yeah, Louis XIV.
Love that one.
So I've been filming that, and just that classic actor thing of just wanting to do theatre because I think it's real acting. And then phoned my agent when I got back and said, "Just surprise me, give me a challenge. I don't want to do something. I don't want to do the cruise, like just like bog standard sort of period things." And that's all I've really done on stage is done, like, I've done Macbeth, and but they're usually like period classic stuff. And then this script came through, and they said, "Do you want to go and meet the director?" So I said, "Yeah." And then sat him down and went, "What the fuck are you playing at? You're mental. This idea is crazy."
Yeah.
And then got the part and started rehearsals it's been fun.
Super, super. Oh my gosh. Well, it sounds fun, but they're not. It also scares the
out of me. It's that thing of walking on stage not knowing who you're going to play, so the butterflies are like going crazy.
I'd probably just spew.
I do like fake spew, do you know, like that one.
Yeah.
It never really comes out, you know.
Just retch. Just gonna retch. It's my warm up. That is my like theatre warm up. I just go retch somewhere.
Let's talk about nerves for a second. I mean, it's Friday now, started on Monday, 5 days in.
Yeah.
How are the nerves? Do they calm down? Are they there continuously?
Especially at the start of the show, because you just don't know if you're gonna have a busy night or a quiet night.
Yeah.
And then once the first scene is selected, and if you're selected or not, and you have to sit on stage for an hour and a half, so you're constantly there.
You're just there, present.
So I think once the first scene is selected, you can then start to breathe, and you can figure out that, okay, so I'm not them two, so I might be the next one, and you start going over the lines in your head.
Okay.
And then you're not that one, so you think, okay, what's the next scene? So you're constantly, like, thinking.
Sure.
But I think as the show goes on, we all sort of calm down.
Buying yourself time kind of thing.
Yeah, God, yeah, sweating.
And have you had any technical fuck ups, because like that's my favourite stories. If any time I'd ever do a live show or like any in a filming or anything, I'm like, what went wrong?
Well, I don't want to spoil it. Well, it's not a spoiler really, because you can see it in the photos. But we the very first scene is between a prostitute and a bus driver, the bus driver has a fetish for baked beans. So we have this sort of the opening sort of scene is the prostitute holding a can of beans and the bus driver's going, "Yeah, right, okay, I'm ready for you now, pour it on me." And let's just say that, you know, if you do get picked as the bus driver, you end up having an hour and a half of just dried crustacean beans on you. So it's not really a fuck up, but like that one character is the one where you kind of don't want it.
Everyone's like, "No!"
The baked bean guy.
No!
I got bus driver, and you just sort of, you're taking off your top because you know you're going to get beans on it, and just sort of like. And you're lying there on the bed going, "All right, come on then." And then you end up doing nine of the scenes with just sort of like an orange glow.
Of baked bean. Yeah.
Especially because I've got a little bit of a beard. It just sort of sticks in there.
Oh, there'll be a beanie beard.
And then you're sitting on the underground back from London Bridge just going, I think I can smell Heinz. Oh, it's me.
Eau de Cologne, Heinz.
Northern line.
Heinz for men.
The worst line as well. Yeah. If you could give any advice on nerves and how to deal with them, I know a lot of people in the acting industry, music industry, even just down to exams.
Yeah.
What would be your tips, except for breathe? Because everyone says to me, I'm nervous. They're like, just breathe. I'm like, I already am breathing. Can't you tell?
Tips for nerves. I don't know.
Any little tricks that you do?
Fake it till you make it. So
okay.
It's like one of those things where it's almost like pretend to be confident, like physically put yourself into a confident body stance.
Pose, yeah.
To make it look like you're not scared. Or the other thing is, you know, like a panicking a swan. So if the swan on the top of the water is beautiful and graceful underneath.
Sure.
They're like,
yeah,
their legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just the thing of you can pinch your inner, you can use your fingers to pinch in your, you can pinch yourself inside your, and sometimes it just focuses your body.
Because nerves is it's all triggered in your head that then reacts to chemicals in your body, like if you start sweating or shaking or whatever. So I've always done the thing of just like knowing that it's happening, knowing I'm nervous, and then trying to trick my brain to think of something either completely different.
Sure.
That's the sort of thing that I've always done, which is like, okay, I'm starting to breathe heavily, I'm hyperventilating or whatever, and then just going, I'm just going to revert to thinking about like, I wonder how they make cornflakes.
Just pick
a, like a random thought out of your head and just try not to think about why you're nervous, because the more you think about it you end up going into a hole, don't you?
You can psych yourself. I used to do that a lot at drama school. I'd psych myself into thinking that I was going to mess up, and so I would, or I was going to forget my line, so then I would completely go blank. So you just gotta, you know. Oh, and the other thing that got me over that, so I struggled with that for like a year of thinking I was going to mess up and then I was going to actually do it. So then I thought, okay, I need to go at the other thing and go, yeah, you probably are going to mess up, but you are going to save it. You are going to improv the shit out of that moment and you're going to wing it and you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So it was like on the cuff, it's like, because your brain goes to anxiety, it goes to like, what could go wrong?
Sure,
and then you're
okay,
but I can handle it. Anything that goes wrong, I'm going to just play with it. And it's going to be funny and it's going to be hilarious in the part of the day after.
It's an interesting concept because whenever, I mean, in my job, I'm sort of doing presenting and stuff in front of people. And people, when they're in a crowd or a group, they become this thing which they're not, if you know what I mean. Like, you must see it all the time.
Yeah,
you come out on stage and you're like, these people have paid. They're no longer humans. They're now these people that are like constantly judging you and affecting you. But it's just like making sure you remember that they are humans. If you mess up, they're not all going to be like, you're shit.
Also, and like, especially with theatre, unless it's like a really well-known play, like unless it's Shakespeare, where people sit in the front row and they mouth along with you.
Oh, really?
Like something like Le Ronde, like it's a completely new adaptation.
Sure.
You're the only person that knows that you messed up.
That's a good point.
And that's the thing to sort of realise, like if you dry or if someone saves you or you miss a bit of the script, no one knows. Apart from you.
Or
the director that sat there making notes and tutting at you.
I'm sorry. But yeah, nobody does know. So
that's a really good point, actually.
You're there to...
I probably guess even with presenting, you know, no one knows that you missed your auto cue or your card has fallen on the floor or anything like that. You just have to wing it, blag it.
Apart from me when I go, oh, fuck, I forgot!
Take two.
Oh, it's live! Oh, no! Sorry, people!
Like Adele. Did you see Adele at the Grammys? Where she was performing this George Michael thing, and she's just like, stop, I fucked up, stop! I want to make this grid for him, like, I want to do this.
Oh, yeah, she completely stopped. And then
that's endearing as hell, though, isn't it?
It works, and obviously everyone was talking about it.
I wonder if it was not on
purpose.
That
humanises her. Really, really, like, massively humanises her. It's great.
I saw a thing. One of the best things that I've seen on my, like, computer screen this week is, on my feed, is Adele, when they dress her up. And they put a prosthetic on her to make her not look a little bit.
Do it like the Adele impersonation thing, yeah.
So she gets put in with a group of Adele impersonators in a competition.
It was for her live thing, right? For Graham Norton.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And there's about, 12 sort of like hardcore Adele fan and impersonators, and then she's in the room with them, but she doesn't quite look like Adele. And then they're all going up one at a time on stage and singing someone like Q. And... they're all talking about what Adele would like or what Adele, and she's pretending to be nervous. She's like, I'm really nervous. Oh, I'm really nervous, really nervous. And she's pretending to go be sick and stuff. And
Amazing.
Then finally she gets up and then she sort of stops and has to do it again. And they're like, oh, bless her, she was so nervous earlier. And then suddenly she starts singing and they all go, how is she?
That's her.
And then they all start crying. It was just and Adele was amazing. Her acting was brilliant.
Yeah,
she played the part so good. So I don't know how you'd find that, but Google Adele Graham Norton
yeah.
impersonation on Google and that's going to come up.
Exactly.
Right, we're going to pop to a song and then we're going to come back and just keep chatting about what's going on. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Versailles because I love that show. So
do it.
Get some goss. Right, so I'm going to go for... Oh, I'm going to go for one more 50 Shades Darker. This is Bomb... Biddy Bomb.
Oh.
By bom, biddy, Nick bom, Jonas biddy, and Nicki bom, Minaj. Biddy, biddy, background biddy, chill. Bom.
Bang. Yeah. I was wrong and you were bad. If I was yours and you were mine. But it was all.
Talking Samsung, I'm about to show 'em what I do with that.
Listening to Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Alex Hoburn. We've still got our guest in the studio. Alex?
Hello, yes, me, this one.
Actual Alex.
Yes.
How was your day?
That was smooth.
So smooth.
No, just because this was quite last minute. No point lying about it. It was very last minute. I went out and got absolutely shitted last night.
Really?
So I was ready to walk in and go, listen, I am so sorry for everything. But then once I'm in here, I look like I'm having a great time.
You're looking well, though.
Yeah. Water.
That's it. Water's the key.
Water, well, Doctor Theatre tonight. That'll kick me out of it. But yeah, no, when I got the phone call, like, do you mind going on the radio? I was like... yeah, and then do you know when you're having a shower and you clearly know that you're still drunk?
Yeah.
It's like this going, what am I doing?
And you come out and you've still got like foam under your arms. You like look in the mirror, you're like, I forgot a bit.
I think I brushed my teeth four times. Yeah. You know, like you just keep going back to the bathroom. What haven't I done? Teeth? I don't know.
Just keep going.
Go on, and then you get on the underground, and I was like just psyching myself up. And then I thought, well, it's only radio. They're not going to see my face. And then the first thing I see is a little camera.
And there's cameras. Oh, it's got four cameras in the studio.
Oh, dear. So I apologise anyone who's watching online to see my ugly mug. So, cool,
that's
awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to see with the theatre, and you're doing a show every night, most nights of the week. Is it a big party afterwards?
No, not really. It was just... Last night we had a really good show, as in what that means for four of us is that we all got an equal opportunity. So sometimes one person's on four and sometimes a person's on one, and it kind of feels like the energy's a bit lost. But last night we all got, I think, two and three or whatever.
Wow.
And it felt like it's one of them ones where, you know, the best nights are the ones that are unplanned, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
When you just don't know and you're like, way!
Same with babies,
I'll just go out for one.
I'll just go out for one. Yeah,
that happens to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go out for one. Next thing you know, you got Domino's. It's 4 a.m. And it's like, and me and my flatmate have this thing where we go to McDonald's and we go back to our house after a night out. And I always lay on the floor. Once I'm there, there's no move for me. He's like, mate, come to bed. Like, I've got a bed there. And I'm just like, no, I'm staying here. I can't move. Like,
I am home.
Yeah, this is my home. My the floor.
My Uber driver was giving me like the death stare. You know, and like, oh, I know what you've done. And in the little mirror, and I'm looking at him, going, don't judge me. I'm going to give you 2 stars if you judge me.
Yeah, it's a mutual thing. He's like, you dare give me 2 stars, I'll give you 1 star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course they rate you, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. You forget that. It's a two-way avenue.
So, just in case anyone's joined us, Alex is here to promote his his play, La Ronde, which is on at the Bunker in London Bridge.
London Bridge, so next to the Mania Chocolate Factory.
And you might also know Alex from, he was in BBC Versailles. Or are you still going?
I start season 3 in May, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
get to go out to Paris for 8 months, which is nice.
Were you there from the beginning?
Yeah, I play Louis XIV's younger brother, Philippe, who's a openly gay, cross-dressing warrior, basically.
That
sounds like a fun role.
They described him as a 17th century David Bowie, and I was like, gotta play this.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta play this. So I have so much fun. I get all the cool scenes.
Yeah.
Like, that's good.
Horseback, cannons firing, and I get to wear a dress, and it's like
crazy
Lady
hair.
Gaga in the center. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, so season 3, I start filming season 3, but season 2 is coming out on the BBC in April. So.
Oh, amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
With TV,
yeah.
I've got a question. Is there any job security, or do you read next episode's script and you're like, please don't die, please don't die, please don't die?
It's not Game of Thrones in that respect,
yeah.
So it is history. And my Philippe, real person, lived until he was 60-odd. So
okay, so you've got time.
Plus, we've got the exclusive.
They can write me out,
yeah.
Right? They can,
yeah.
If I was a dick.
Yeah.
But don't be a dick and just
and
let
fine.
History dictate the fact that I'll be here till season 14 with a Zimmer, you know. They will never recast me.
Still on nights out.
Yeah.
A diamond Zimmer. Okay,
yeah,
you are royalty.
Yes.
Oh my god, that was, and so in Paris, but you're 8 months, but you get to hop back a lot.
Yeah, so like Eurostar is what, 2.5 hours on the train.
Yeah.
So I live in London and I come back every other weekend, I guess. But Paris is nice, you know. Mm. It's not like a bad city to spend
and
time
in. Have you learned French, or have you
everyone asks me this now. And I keep saying to the crew, because the crew are French, like makeup artists and the camera people and all that, I keep saying to them, like, I'll learn French by season 2, and then season 2 came
it's like, by season 3.
By season 3, and I think it's kind of like a good omen that I just keep not learning it, and we'll keep getting commissions.
I lived in Paris for a little bit, for a couple of months, and it was my thing. I was like, I'm going to learn to speak French. But as soon as people heard that I was English,
well, that's the thing.
They would speak to me, they'd be like, oh, English, and I was no, please speak to me in
they
French, because I want to
give you the
know.
Benefit of the doubt, which is a shame.
Yeah.
To be fair, most English people don't know French, so it's such a shame, and it's so disrespectful that they know English, and it's like, I feel so embarrassed that they know.
I've
language.
Had a different experience when the places I haven't been to Paris, to be fair, but the places I've been in France, they refuse to speak English. I end up just like, I mean I've been skiing and stuff like that. I went to Morzine and I was like, oh, this is like suntan lotion, and I was like, do you have any more of this? And they're just like, hmm. I'm like, what?
Come on, just at least point.
You just cook like a lobster.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like
damn
bright
that
red.
Man,
bright red, and I was just like.
Oh right, Alex, we're out of time because you've got to get back to London Bridge and got to get prepped.
Come get tickets on bunkertheatre.com. It's selling really well. There's only 110 seats per night, so it's quite
intimate.
Wow. Very intimate. Yeah. And if you do come and you see me play the prostitute, I wear leather hot pants, and that's it. So
that's the selling
if
point.
That's not an excuse to come
and see it.
See it. Oh, thank you so much, Alex.
Thank
amazing.
You very
have, a,
much.
Have a really, really good show and break a leg.
Good luck, man.
Thanks,
have
guys.
A good one.
Cheers. Okay, I'm going to play next. This is from the John Wick 2.
Ooh.
John Wick 2. This is I like
Keanu.
The trailer music.
Let's
so
go.
You're listening to Back Row and Chill.
When the log on, and the boys unleash hell when the war's on. Bloodthirsty when the dogs put their paws on. You gon' tell them how they go a little bit of laws on. Put them on the battlefields where they can. And ignorant still trying to miss what I said, Command shit, put a purse on them. Get them wild before I ran deaths on them. I'm the general, I can be worth something. My soldiers is ready to put a black house on them. Bring them to the wake, break them with a requiem and throw them in the pit and throw a little bit of dirt on them. Dirt on them, throw a little dirt on them. Trigger fingers in the air, put a little work on them. Work on them, put a little work on them. Trigger finger in the air, put a little dirt on them. Put a little dirt on them.
For the weekend.
It does. What was that? That was John Wick, wasn't it?
I don't know. What word? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
That was the John Wick trailer song called Battle Royale. Love it.
Hyped
up. Right, we were just dancing around the studio, you guys. So, just before the break, that was Alex Vlahos. He was Vlariv. No, I can't even.
He was great. He was great. Really nice guy. Definitely go and check out his play. It sounded amazing.
I love that he came on, like, maybe still a bit drunk.
He looked, to be fair. I didn't want to say anything, but he's a bit cross-eyed, so.
He looked amazing. I was like, right. Okay.
Hair of the dog.
Definitely hair of the dog. Right, it's a little bit more entertainment news, what's going on in the world of film. Jurassic World 2 has...
Wow.
officially started production. Apparently they're going to make it into a trilogy, as they do with everything that makes money nowadays.
Yeah.
But Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are back on board.
Amazing.
But Bryce Dallas Howard is not going to be wearing heels in this one.
Okay.
Because there was all this big hoo-ha.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the first film, because she was wearing these like heeled stilettos and she was running around the dinosaur park being chased by a T-Rex. I was like, kick your fucking heels off, girl, and run! Like, that's my first port of call if I'm being chased by a dinosaur.
Human nature, back to barefoot.
Yeah, just do it. Like, just... I'd strip naked and run wherever. Maybe streamline me if I'm being run away.
Aerodynamic. Less support though.
Less support. And if I haven't shaved, it wouldn't be very aerodynamic.
No, that's true.
So, okay, too much information. Okay.
TMI.
And because the last film pulled in $1.67 billion, so that's
that was purely with the trailer, with that massive like crocodile shark that jumped out. Do you remember?
Yep.
That like sold it for me. I was like, I've got to go and see this now.
Yep.
It jumped out of the water.
Crocodile shark.
The croc shark.
I don't know if that's a thing, but
I can't do it. No, there's no other words for it. Yeah. But it was crazy dinosaur that jumped out of the
croc.
Water. The croc. Nailed it.
That took me so long. Okay. And apparently it might be directed by the same guy who did A Monster Calls.
Okay. Yeah. So I've heard about... apparently that's another one to go and check out.
I know.
Same as Train.
Famous Train slash
but,
Lion.
Yeah.
And there's this new film that I saw a trailer for. I was looking through, because one of my favourite things to do is to look through trailers and see what I get excited about. I love a good trailer. I guess sometimes I get more excited about a trailer than the movie.
Okay.
And it's my dream to be in a trailer, sometimes more than...
Oh, really?
When I made it in the Brotherhood trailer, I'm in the trailer!
I was going to say, I saw you in the trailer for that. I was like, hang on a second.
Hardly in the movie, but I'm in the trailer.
Yeah.
So there's a film called Colossal, which you can find the trailer on YouTube or Apple Trailers. And it's got Anne Hathaway. It's this very weird... whoever came up with this idea, I'm like, cool, I'm going to run with it.
Okay, hit me.
It's basically about this girl, and she's like hungover or she's ill or something. And she wakes up and finds that since she's been asleep, this huge monster has landed in some Asian city like Seoul or Seoul.
Okay, okay.
And all the world's media are on this like huge, huge monster. And then she's watching it on the news, and then she goes up and like scratches her head, and then so does the monster, and then she realizes that she is the monster.
Whoa.
And whatever she does, the monster does.
Jeez.
So
robot.
A bit like that. It's like a big like
breakdance
robot monster, metaphorical physical monster. And then so she goes to see her friends, and she's trying to tell them, look, I'm the monster that's running around the city.
Well, wouldn't you just stand still?
Well, so she does. She said, and they were like, prove it. And so she starts to dance, and then they look on the media, and then the robot's doing the robot.
The monster doing
the robot. I am tired.
Wouldn't you just be like, okay, this is weird. I'm going to stand still. Maybe I'm tripping out. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to stand still and not kill anyone else.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because every time she moves around, she could like stomp on somebody or a building. But also the thing is that when like the military go to like shoot her, she's like, ow, she can feel it.
No way.
So so it's called Colossal, and it's kind of a very weird, dark comedy. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give that one a go when that comes out. That looks quite funny.
Sounds interesting, actually.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
No, unfortunately not.
No, not.
I had a think. I remember Doctor Who when it was the Scottish man, I think. This was a while ago.
David Tennant. He was a good Doctor Who.
I love a Dalek, but haven't seen it since then, since Tennant.
Yeah, no, I was a Doctor Who fan. I was a big Doctor Who fan around Tennant, and then again with Matt Smith. After Matt Smith, I stopped.
Is it? It's not Benedict, is it? Cumberbatch.
No, it is that he plays Sherlock.
Yes, that is a show.
That's a show.
I love
half.
That one.
No, it's Peter Capaldi, but he has just left, so they are now casting for another Doctor Who.
For a new Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, and, get the applications in.
There is no news yet whether it's going to be male or female, although there is a lot of speculation about whether they are going to go for a girl this time. Apparently Tilda Swinton.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton, is that her name?
Tilda in the TARDIS.
Tilda in the TARDIS. Exactly. She's like number one girl who'd be up for it. I'd also probably quite like to see like Dawn French or someone.
Yes.
Would be amazing as the Doctor. And I love that. I think it's open for being a girl because it is just called The Doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Doctors can be girls too.
A lot of doctors are female.
A lot of them are.
Yeah. So. My girlfriend's mum is a doctor. Shout out to Karen.
Shout out to Karen the Doctor.
Doctors.
The Doctor.
Saving lives.
And and American Horror Story. Are you a fan of that?
No.
Are you scared of horrors?
Yes.
Yeah, I
massively.
I can't do horror films. Like horror films and stuff, I'm like, no way. But I managed to actually get through American Horror Story because there was enough of like characters in there. There was enough stuff to make it not so scary.
Is it the one with Christian Bale? No. Mm-mm. Okay. Oh, that's American Psycho, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is a very cool series. So it's like a horror themed TV series, and every season is an entirely different storyline.
Okay.
So the first season was set in this creepy house in LA with a family who moved in, and so they did the whole of the series and the season around that. And then the second season, they got all the same actors back, but they completely went back to the drawing board and said, okay, nope, we're now going to set it in a mental hospital in the 1960s.
Wow.
So the actors get to stay in the season. And they get rewritten in as completely unrelated characters, and then you just get to see them again doing something a little bit different. So I watched the first two seasons, and then I became single, and I did not want to watch that on my own because... You need to watch it with a buddy.
Shoulder to cry on.
A snuggle buddy, I think. The American Horror Story season 6 is about to come out, but season 7 apparently is going to cover the presidential election in 2016.
Oh, wow.
I think they're going to do something Trump-ish with American Horror Story.
That's a good move. I had a bad experience with a horror. I watched Jeepers Creepers.
Right.
That was the first horror I ever saw when I was about 10. Ever since then, I can't look at groups of crows. Because that means that Jeepers Creepers is around. There's other things that freak me out as well, but it's a long, ongoing thing. I need to see a psychiatrist, I think, about this one.
Crows.
Yeah,
okay, that's
crows.
What not to get you for your birthday.
Yeah, no crows. I'm not sure why you'd be getting me crows for my birthday, but...
Never know. My bird sanctuary. I don't do horrors. I can't think of what was the first thing that scared me. My dad, when I was little, he showed me... Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And I could do the first one fine, even though it was quite a scary thought. I literally really thought that the world could go upside down and monkeys would take over. But in the second one, they go underground, and there was where the old humans, like some sort of human cult, are under there. And they've got these weird like brain heads. Anyway, I just remember seeing it, and then my dad goes, "Oh, don't look." And so I went,
and then you looked straight away.
And then I kind of tried to cover, but I did see, and I saw these like brain cult people that live underground, and I had nightmares for so long.
Yeah.
So
be careful with your kids when you're watching that stuff, because it does affect you. Like, it's affected me to this day. Thanks, Mum. Actually, it wasn't Mum, it was my friend Alex.
Thanks,
another
Alex.
Yeah.
But
brilliant.
It
thanks,
really,
mate.
Really, really affected me. Isn't it crazy? Yeah, when you're little, and I mean, if anyone listening out there has got any, what was like the scariest, most thing that really affected you as a kid or even as an adult? What really scared the shit out of you and affected
in terms
you.
Of entertainment.
Do you know what was weird one? My brother, my little brother, when he was about 3, he was absolutely terrified of Emperor Zurg in Toy Story.
Is this Zach?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He was petrified.
Really?
And he'd be watching Toy Story, and as soon as Emperor Zurg came on, he'd be out crying. He didn't want to watch it. He had to fast forward it. He had a fear of this Emperor Zurg.
This is potentially the biggest question of the last 20 years. Buzz or Woody?
Woody.
Really? I'm to infinity and beyond all the way, baby.
See, I got, that year, I got a Buzz Lightyear, because the year that Toy Story came out, it was, you had to have a Woody or a Buzz. Like, that was the Christmas thing. And I really wanted a Woody, and Woody had all sold out, so I got Buzz.
Really?
And I did like it, but you can't cuddle Buzz. It was a really hard bit of plastic.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't like something nice to sleep with. It was just this like hard Buzz Lightyear. So I was really annoyed that I didn't get a Woody.
No one wants to sleep with a hard Buzz Lightyear.
Woody, you get to pull a string and it's like, there's a snake in my boots. And I really wanted that. Man, so if anyone's got an old Woody doll they want to donate to me, just send it in.
There's a really,
radio.
Really cool range of a range of vans out, which have Andy written on the bottom, and they've got like, Toy Story, style stuff on them. It's really cool. I'm desperate for a pair. I think they're sold out, but
I totally drew Andy on the bottom of my shoes. Yeah, I did. Man.
Nostalgia is strong.
But my dad is called Andy, so it's like I am my dad. Yeah.
Property of Andy.
Property of Andy. Right. So, Big Bang Theory. Are you a fan?
Yes, massively.
Well, that's a good job because they've just commissioned season 11 and 12, which I don't know. I don't see this ending.
Yeah, I hope it never does. Sheldon Cooper is timeless.
I don't think he's gonna. Apparently, he's got a role in Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw him, but he's playing like a NASA scientist, and I was like, mate, you're never ever going to be not Sheldon.
Yeah.
You were never ever going to be not be
genius.
Sheldon.
Whoever wrote that is yeah, that's crazy. And he carries the team, I think. Like, Leonard, okay, great. Penny, obviously she's very attractive.
Yeah.
Howard and Kutrapali, they have such a funny relationship, but Sheldon just
he's
nails
the glue
it.
Of the entire
every
family
time.
Love it. So yeah, and the other thing that I saw that's just come out is Love season 2 on Netflix, the new trailer, if anyone has been desperate to see that, because last year they brought out I think he's called Judd, you know, Judd Apatow. He does all the he did like Knocked Up.
I think I know the guy actually. 40 Year Old Virgin,
yeah. All those kind of Seth Rogen style.
Yeah.
He does sort of all those Hollywood films, and he decided to write a Netflix original series called Love.
Amazing.
Which, again, I don't think it should be titled that because I think it put off a lot of guys from watching it, but you shouldn't. It's
yeah,
just so
I'll
good.
I'll definitely check it out.
And it's set in LA, and it's about a guy who works as a tutor on the Hollywood lot, tutoring the children who are in the movies. But he desperately wants to be a script writer, and he's trying to get his scripts in. But he has to, like, teach these little brat children. And it's about how he crosses paths and meets this kind of crazy girl who's got... she's like a love... she's a love and sex addict.
Oh.
And she's got...
A love addict,
which is a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. A love addict and a sex addict, and they kind of...
I mean, like, when does sex become an addiction? Because you try and have it pretty regularly, right?
Sex addiction, I don't know what the actual...
How many times does it become an addiction? Like, how many times a day does it become an addiction?
I think it's not in the matter of how many times. I think it's when it disrupts your life.
Yeah. You, like, skip breakfast.
Any addiction. Yeah, well, actually, what is the definition of an addiction?
Yeah, write in.
Write in. What would it be? I think it's when you... when it overtakes something that, like, if you skip breakfast for drugs or sex, probably got an addiction.
Well, no,
there.
Not so much breakfast, because, like, that's happened before.
Okay.
But let's go for, like, lunch or, like, dinner.
Let's go for, if you skip all the meals, then you're right. Okay, so go check out Love Trailer on Netflix, or I found that on the internet. And I really, really recommend the first series because it was so good. Right, so this week I got to go and meet the director of the new film Moonlight, just straight after the BAFTAs. So the BAFTAs happened on Sunday, so I watched that with my brother. And I did see Noel. Noel was at the BAFTAs, and he was wearing this white tux, and he was sat behind Amy Adams, and every time the camera went to Amy Adams, there was Noel. And I swear, at one point, he was on his phone. I was
really?
Like, Noel, you're on TV!
He's like the English version of Rihanna when she was at the Grammys with her little hip flask. She had a diamond hip flask. She was just drinking all the way through.
Oh, amazing. Well, no, he wasn't that cool. He was just on his phone.
On his phone.
So Noel was at the BAFTAs, but afterwards I got to go and meet the Terrell and also Barry Jenkins, who directed and wrote Moonlight. So I'm going to play for you now a little clip of when I got to go and speak to them, because they were so lovely, and they're over here right now from LA. So let's just play this for you. Oh, here we go.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
So we met Barry early in the week, and he said that
the good guy.
Yeah, the good guy.
Yeah, he's the good one.
Oh, are you the bad one?
No, I'm just the weird one.
Okay. And so we got to speak to him a little bit about his side, because he said you wrote the play that got then evolved into the movie Moonlight. Mm. So if you could just tell us a bit about what the play was and how you wrote that.
So the script in Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue, I wrote in 2003, shortly after my mother died of AIDS-related complications.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this kind of, you know, filmic, you know how sometimes you sing in the shower a little bit, even though you don't think of yourself as a singer. And I was writing plays, and I didn't think of myself as a filmmaker, but I wanted to write something that that could feel like a film, only because the memories of the time I had spent with my mother were coming to me in very visual ways and experiential ways, which is different than what we do in the theater. So I wrote in Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue, and then I went and wrote the rest of my plays. I sort of got down, I thought, got down as much of the feeling of growing up in Liberty City in Miami as possible, and then kind of left it. And then a friend of ours, Andrew Hevia, who is a filmmaker in Miami, the Borscht Corp, got that script from me by asking me if there was anything that was ever, you know, made that I'd ever written that looked, felt like film. And it was this piece, and so I gave it to him, and then he hunted Barry down and gave it to Barry, who, oddly enough, had grown up three blocks away from me.
But you didn't know each other?
Didn't know each other.
Okay.
Went to the same schools. He's only 8 months older than I am. He says he's 8 months older than I am. I think he's actually maybe a little older. But
okay, he's just like skimming a little off the top.
Yeah. Maybe like 9 months older. But, you know, but not much older. So we were in, you know, similar grades and knew similar people, but didn't know each other.
And so this is a... It's a very biographical film for you.
No, for sure.
And
also for Barry as well. I mean, I think what we discovered is that, you know, we grew up in the same time period, and some of the same things influenced us. I mean, both of our mothers struggled with drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw the drug trade around our neighborhood and, you know, dealt with abject poverty. So we both, you know, grew up in similar ways. But certainly there are events in the piece that are directly from my life, especially the first two thirds of it. Mm-hmm. And Bear was really careful to protect them and make sure that they were framed in a really authentic way.
And also, like, the love sort of storyline. I definitely call it a love storyline. I was like, they're in love.
Sure.
And is that also inspired by your...
No, those are real events. Yeah. So there was a kid named Kevin.
Oh, wow. Like, literally that.
Yeah, no.
So Kevin's going to go see the movie and be like, hey.
No, it wasn't. No. His name wasn't Kevin, but there was a Kevin.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I was like, otherwise, maybe you should change the names.
Oh, no. Though the kid who was the bully named Terrell was named Terrell. I didn't name him that from some sick joke. His name was Terrell.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, because this.
But I doubt he'll see the movie.
It's so strong because it deals with, like, yeah, bullying, drug addiction, the backwards, upside down relationship when mother and child, when one has to care for the other in sort of the wrong way around. So there's so much in this film that I think people are gonna, you can just relate to, and it just hits like that. It goes straight in the heart. It's like, oh. How involved were you in the film production, or was it more you inspired that and let Barry go on?
So once Barry and I figured out, we started a conversation about the script, and that he figured out this was going to be his second film, which is really brave and courageous of him. We sort of just tried to figure out the structure. So because the original structure went so that all those three chapters were braided onto each other. So you would see Little wake up, you would see Chiron wake up, you would see Black wake up. You would see Little going to school, you would see Chiron going to school, you would see Black going to the corner. And that's how the entire film progressed for the next, you know, hour and 5 minutes. Until you realize that they were one person. And Barry felt really strongly that we should divide it into three chapters so that we could see, so that the audience had a chance to be immersed in those pivotal moments in a way, which I thought was really brilliant and smart. And once we got to that conversation, that was pretty easy. It was sort of very swift to go, yeah, let's do that. And then Barry went off and rewrote the script in that way. And that's how we got Moonlight. So after that, I was like, great, you're going to make it? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, fantastic. Well, I'll be here. And you guys let me know how that goes. And when they were filming in Miami, you know, he invited me to set quite often, but I did not. I was smart enough to stay away.
You gotta stay out. It might be quite hard to see sort of your baby child.
Oh, it was less about the script. It was more about I didn't want to see those scenes happening again.
Oh, okay. And have you ever wanted to act or be front of...
Oh, I am an actor.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you write stuff for your yourself to?
No.
No. Okay, because that's what I do. I write my own.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I rarely, you know, I stopped acting when I think the last play I did was I was workshopping The Suit with Peter Brook, mm-hmm. and then that was the last thing I did. I was sort of like, nope, this is good. I'm done. This is tiring.
It's very tiring.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever get like performance anxiety or?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I stopped.
Okay.
That's why I stop. It's just, it's hard to do. I'm very shy. I'm very hard on myself. You know, acting is very difficult. So I decided to continue to write. Mm-hmm. I also was, you know, I like the collaborative process. I like the part where we all sort of sit around and get together and make something happen. And so, you know, the family that I've gotten out of Moonlight is sort of impressive because these are actors who absolutely do that.
And so were you at BAFTAs?
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you going to the Oscars?
Yep.
Okay. So was that the real first time at BAFTAs or had you been around the award?
Nah, that was definitely my first time at the BAFTAs.
Okay.
For sure.
What was it like?
Probably, maybe
for us civilians who yeah. couldn't go.
It was surreal, you know.
Was royalty there?
Yes, they were.
Yep. Like,
yep.
Did you find yourself just bowing for no reason?
No, but I certainly, you know, it's funny because I didn't know I knew this. Maybe it's because I spent so much time here, but I found myself, you know, when the Duke and the Duchess came in, I sort of stood up and knew I was supposed to stand up. And I was like, I'm up. Does anybody else know that? Oh, you guys didn't know you're supposed to stand up. And then and then at the end, when everybody was like, oh, it's over, let's go, I was like, nope, we have to stay seated until the royalty leaves. And I was like, how does nobody know this? Like, you guys don't know.
Come on, everyone's basic royal decorum,
yeah, exactly,
everybody.
Exactly.
It's like, you got to learn that.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
They were so charming. And it's so awesome that, you know, a crown royal is the president of your Academy Awards. You
yeah,
know,
that's really cool.
That's sort of stunning. I don't know if we ever can have that kind of integration in a way, or maybe we don't want that, so, but
yeah,
it's sort of really beautiful that they were that involved and that caring about the process.
And obviously Moonlight was up for Best Picture, so aside from
four BAFTAs, that was amazing.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, four, but aside from this film, what's been your favorite of the films that last year of the, do you have another favorite film?
Oh, lots of them
that you liked.
So, you know, I
did you like La La Land, or is it?
Yeah, I like it.
I liked it, but I don't think it's, everyone's having a big hoo-ha about it, and I found it so much more sadder than.
Oh yeah, no, it's, you know, it's a good. Damien Chazelle did an incredible job. It's really it's beautiful on the eyes, and some of them, sadly, I still haven't seen. You know, but at the same time, you know, I loved Fences.
Oh yeah,
I loved Hidden Figures. I loved 13th. I loved Lion. Oh, Lion. Mm. I love Dev Patel. Man.
He's got hot as well.
Oh, wait. that's not what I meant, but sure.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, I know, I love him. But obviously, Dev started off on a British TV sitcom when we were both teenagers.
No, yeah.
And he was known as like a really kind of geeky guy. And then just suddenly, boom, he's like, come out. And everyone's like, when did Dev Patel get hot, mate?
Oh, yeah. Nah, I mean, I think he's always had the charm, kind of charm to him. And sort of, you know, you can't, those sort of bright eyes that he has, you kind of can't make those up. And so they glow on film. And so maybe he's just gotten used to that. I don't know, but he's an incredible actor. I mean, and that was the other great thing about being at the BAFTA. You're sort of sitting around very talented people.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, yeah, this is the talented room.
Who was like the coolest? Did you fangirl over anybody?
Yeah, for sure. I met Rez Ahmed and I was like, dude, you're so awesome. I was like, yeah, tons of times. Tom Ford came up to us. I was like, dude, I'm wearing a suit from you right now.
I'm wearing you.
Yeah.
Which is a very weird thing to say to someone you first
meet. No, I didn't say I'm wearing you. I definitely was like, I'm wearing your clothes, like, for sure. That, which is also weird, you know. It's like, but yeah, it was sort of a stuff, you know, you can't, I don't get over, you know, and Nicole Kidman was right there, and I was like, you are amazing.
She's super, super tall and elegant.
She is elegant. She's not as tall as you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think, you know, she seems very tall because of the presence that she has. And, you know, and Meryl Streep is the coolest because, so this is the interesting thing. So I was at the HRC before I flew over. So I was in New York and the Human Rights Campaign had a gala that honored Meryl Streep and Moonlight the same night.
Oh, wow.
So that was Saturday night. And we did that and I was like, oh my God, I gotta get on a plane and gotta go to the BAFTAs, which was like terrifying to me. Cause I'm like, I'm never going to get any sleep. But Meryl was there at that, and she was just lovely, and she was like, I love the film, and she was so complimentary. I was like, oh my God, Meryl Streep, she's being so cool. She hugged Jarrell, who plays the middle Kevin, and like they had a whole conversation. I was like, this is great. Yeah. This is so wonderful. A little Moonlight. And then I go get on this plane. I'm like complaining, and I'm like, hey. And I show up at the BAFTAs, and there's Meryl. Glowing, amazing, standing there, kissing everybody, so yeah. wonderful. And I'm like,
witchcraft.
Yeah, I'm like, she's a sorceress.
Witchcraft, mate.
She's a sorceress. She's gotta be. She's like evaporated herself there. She's got a wand somewhere, I know, I swear. Right? Like, her and JK have been having conversations about how to use the Hogwarts, like teleporting.
Time turner thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, I know. Or it can't just be makeup. Oh, anyway, we're out of time, but thank you so, so much.
Oh,
and have
you.
A brilliant time at the Oscars. So,
oh, thank
Jill.
You.
Is proud to be an official partner of Stand and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage,
Joe Collard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless.
FUBAR Radio will be bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event.
FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and
Alex Hoban.
Woohoo! And we've just been joined by Lucy Patterson.
Hello!
Our in-house regular film reviewer.
Yes.
It's time for film reviews. So we're going to be talking about films that we've seen this week, things that are coming up, what we think is shit and what we think is not. Please do join in. Email in chill@fubarradio.com if there's something you've seen or if you disagree with what our reviews are like. You know, feel free to correct us or tweet us at FUBAR Radio and just let us know. So what have people been seeing, viewing, streaming this week?
Who's going first? Should I go first?
You go first, Lucy.
Okay. John Wick, Chapter 2.
Oh, yes.
I went with you.
Me and Johanna actually got to go to a screening together rather than being Billy No Mates on our own, which was quite a treat, actually. And it was a really, really good film. I didn't expect anything less, to be honest. The first one was amazing. People that don't know or haven't seen the first one, John Wick Chapter 2 is the second film to John Wick, funnily enough. Starring Keanu Reeves, he is a hitman trying to retire, and
he's just trying to retire
and live with his little dog, and you know, everything just gets completely fucked up, and so he has to go and kill loads of people. So it is 100 miles an hour from the second it starts.
Amazing.
You know, the question that I had after watching it was, how many times can one man be run over and still get up and fuck everyone up? Like, he's like my new hero.
And Keanu, he came in,
he did, oh my god, he was so excited.
He came into the screening.
No way.
And it was like in the flesh.
Oh, it's so good.
Neo.
It was so I went in and I hadn't seen the first one. So obviously I didn't get a couple of the references, but I didn't really need to.
No, I don't think you need to have seen the first one.
This film is a standalone story.
Totally.
You can obviously see that it's a guy who used to be a hit guy that gets called out again. The only thing is, what, I was so tired because I spent all day filming a La La Land sketch, which is going to be out on FUBAR's Facebook soon.
Did you fall asleep?
And then we did the show, and then to Leicester Square, and I was there. And then I woke up. I was like, Lucy,
I actually wasn't going to tell anybody. Johanna, you just grassed yourself up.
No, I have to say, it wasn't the film's fault. I was just so exhausted.
Tired. You looked so comfy and cozy, though, bless you. I was like, right.
I just concertina'd down into the, and then so I missed the middle of the film.
Yeah.
The beginning, I woke up and then I was like, did he kill her?
What happened?
and then I saw the end, sort of like midway to the end.
Yeah.
So I thought it was good, and yeah, it wasn't anything particular. It was great. Like, they stretched the realms of violence, I think.
Oh,
like,
they really did. But
it's
it was
like,
glorious.
You can't be hit and punched and stabbed and run over that many times.
Yeah. He is a machine. And the thing is, Keanu Reeves is 52.
Wow.
He's 52 and he moves and fights like a 20-year-old ninja.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's come back.
Yeah, and when I came in, I was like, when I saw his face, I was like, he's not aged.
I know.
He's not aged.
What did he look like in person?
He's just a
Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah, okay.
And he's so softly spoken, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was really sweet. It was a very surreal moment, I must admit.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the film.
This is a really fun film to make. I was like, yes, can't wait
John
to watch
Wick.
It.
John Wick 2. Bye. No, it was good. So John Wick 2, I think it's out in cinemas. Is it out? Yeah.
Yep, it came out today, I think. It's amazing. It's well made, well acted, fun film to watch.
Yeah. Lots of punches.
If you don't mind,
go and check it out.
Violence.
I'm definitely going to go and check it out.
Yeah, you should, definitely.
So I went to see 50 Shades Darker.
Oh, did you?
Because it had the one star review.
Amazing.
Wow. So I was like, let me go and see.
Yeah. I've got to get involved.
So I went with some girlfriends, with Brooke.
Okay, yeah.
And my housemate. And it was so weird because we went into the cinema and it was all girls. There was no
really?
Men. It
well,
was
yeah.
all female. And it was like some sort of interactive
Like a sing along.
Like, literally, yeah. He came on screen and everyone went,
oh, stop it.
I'm not even joking. And I'm not really a Christian Grey like enthusiast. I don't really find Jamie Dornan. I mean, he's obviously
he's hot.
He's beautiful, but I'm not like that into.
Not psychotic about
no,
it.
No, I prefer like Funny and Hairy, but and then anyway, so but every time he kept like coming onto the screen or taking his top off, there would be these audible
cringe.
Really?
And it was so funny.
He's so awkward.
And I had like I had one friend on one side and another friend on the other. I was in between, and they were both just losing themselves over this. It was so funny. Really? I was like, "What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
he's just proposing, okay." And so as a film, it was like, I actually way preferred it. The first film, I didn't really like the first film at all.
No.
This one has got a much better storyline. Really crap S&M though.
Like, really? Like average,
it's like,
shots.
Yeah, it literally, it's like, I'm going to.
Well, I think you have to tone it down from the books because they are basically pornography.
But,
okay.
But honestly, it's like, I was, you know, expecting to go in and learn something and it was like, I'm going to tie your ankles down. It's like, that's it?
To
really?
The chair,
then. Yeah.
So he tied her up, basically. He tied her up, shackled her up. Is that it?
And it would never be as slick as it looks.
No. I was thinking, and then I was like, clumsy. Mate, if I should, we should do some sort of 50 spoof with like,
please do.
Like the
be
realism
hilarious.
Of it, because I was like, it doesn't happen like that. There would be farts.
I think
and
you really have to do that.
Stuff
yes,
that goes on.
Awkwardness.
Was she any better? Because she was wooden as anything in the first one.
Yeah, but this is the thing that I can't get around. Is like the character that she has to play. She's really, really mousy.
Yeah.
But not even like cute girl dressed down. She's just quite
dull.
Dull.
Yeah.
And the character's got nothing. And he's like, so this big billionaire is like obsessed, with his like minions and having these like submissive people. And then for some reason, he just falls head over heels for her. And I can't see why.
And I can't see how all of a sudden, one minute he's a control freak psycho, and the next minute he's all soppy and shit. It's not believable.
I don't believe it. Like, if she was something like, in Pretty Woman,
yeah,
she's the Vivian, even though she's like a prostitute, she's so
charming
and she's dorky and she's got, and she's
and just, you get why he'd fall in love with her, but with Anastasia it's like, really?
And there's nothing even so, like, she's really dull and but she doesn't, she's not really cute anyway, she's not really funny, she doesn't really crack anything, she doesn't fall over anything, she's not clumsy. It's like, she's just really boring.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So I was like, why are you in love with her? And I could hear it as well. I could hear people going, she's not pretty enough for him.
Really?
She's not pretty
bitches.
Enough
for him. Jesus.
She's not. And I was like, whoa. So she's punching.
Yeah.
She's punching
that time.
And it was just, it's basically girl porn, I realised.
Well, yeah.
Like emotional girl porn.
Mm. Did you read the books?
No, I didn't read the books. So,
oh, they're terrible.
So I went in not knowing what the story was. Obviously, my friends had, and they were like, you've not read the books? Oh my gosh, this is the one. I'm like,
yeah, I read like
me.
One and a half and stopped because the writing was like a child.
Yeah, so like it was just girl fantasy night. And it was everything that I bought, the guys. And it also, I was like, well, this has ruined everyone's Valentine's Day because no man can compete with what he just did. He like helicopter flies her out to this party and then he proposes and he does all this stuff and it's just like he as a joke puts 24 grand in her bank
hilarious.
Account.
Hilarious.
Lol. And I was like literally the day before Valentine's, I was like, some guy's gonna turn up with like a flower and a card and it's like, mate, you're not Christian Grey.
That's awful.
Where's my helicopter and 24 grand?
Oh, expectations. Oh dear.
And then also emotionally as well, like, I want you, I've got eyes for only you. And I was like, what guy says I've got eyes
blah,
for
blah,
only
blah.
You? Really?
Yeah.
We all know we got our one eye back in here. We all know
no
that.
No comment. I'm outnumbered here, guys. Help me.
Help. Send recruit.
Yeah.
So 50 Shades, it was good, it was good for a giggle. Just don't take it seriously and just go just go for a bit of it. And just go for to watch the other girls watch it is more interesting.
Yeah, that sounds more interesting, actually. I think I'd probably go just for that. You find that that's a lot of people I know have been to see it. Like, they go out for lunch with the girls and then go and see that. And I just find it really weird. Let's go out for lunch and porn.
That
you know what I mean?
It's just really like weird. Group porn.
Yeah.
Like,
some emotional porn.
Yeah. Lovely way to spend the afternoon.
And then we're going to, like, not like our boyfriends, the rest of the month.
Manicure, pedicure and porn.
Yes. That could really take off as
Manny a, Penny Pondé. Yeah. Oh my god, it's going to be a thing. Manny Penny Pondé. So yeah, what else did anybody see?
I saw Lion.
Oh,
also known
so
as Train.
That film.
Also known as Train. I asked him what he'd seen. He goes, Train. I was like, what? He goes, I mean, Lion. There's a
excellent.
Train. No, there's
no.
A train
yeah.
in it.
I can see why. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's an amazing story about a guy who. He's a very young boy in an Indian slum, and he loses track of his mum and his brother, etc. And he goes off, and then he's adopted and taken to Australia. So the whole story is about him trying to figure out like his childhood. He's now 20-something.
Why is it called Lion?
Oh, no, that's a spoiler.
Oh,
yeah,
a spoiler.
I can't say that. I can't say that. But it's Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire, who we mentioned
so
earlier.
Good. Yeah.
And he won the BAFTA.
Oh, really? Okay. Nice.
And he's up for the Oscar as well.
Oh, my God.
Bless his heart.
He's up for an Oscar. Yes. Dev Patel from Skins.
And Wah from Skins is up for an Oscar, and that is pretty amazing. Well done, Dev. And he's got really
fair
hot.
Play to you, Dev.
We were saying earlier.
He's got... Oh.
Because I've never seen so many grown men cry in a cinema. There was only about six people in there because I went on one of those really random times. It was like early in the day. But everyone was bawling. I was actually at Westfield in Stratford. And I was walking through afterwards and like everyone's looking at you like, why are you crying? I'm still crying. Like I just couldn't control it. It was madly.
Just so
emotional.
Yeah,
that's what happened to my dad. He said he just sobbed through the whole thing. And my mum was like, it was really embarrassing. I thought he was going to have to leave. I was like, all right. I was like, you can talk, mum. You cry at everything.
There's, there's like levels of crying as well, isn't there? It's like the sob. But then there's that one where you're like...
shaking.
Yeah, you want to just be like... let it go.
I have had that.
That's what happened to me.
There was a movie that I watched. What did I watch? I think it was I Love You. P.S. I Love You.
Oh, my God. That destroys me, that
film.
And
I started to watch it. And it's about... The opening sequence is like these people are really in love. And he dies.
Oh, no way.
And he knows he's going to die. So he gets this like quick terminal thing. And he leaves his wife... letters and messages and stuff. So for a whole year after he's died, he keeps popping up, and he ends every message with "P.S. I love you."
Isn't that Gerard?
Yeah. Gerard Butler. I started watching it, and I got the sobs, and to the point where my friend had to stop it and said, "Johanna, if you're not gonna shut up, like." We need to continue.
Get out, stop
like,
crying.
Pull yourself together. Or just stop, you know, because I was like guttural.
Oh, no.
like actual baby crying.
It really hit a nerve. When it does that to you, you know, it really hits a... Same with the most recent one to make me cry was In Fences, Viola Davis.
I've still not seen that yet. I'm going to see that this week.
She made me cry in that because I just, yeah.
I think the last one I proper lost my shit to was Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I was shaking in the cinema seat because if I was at home, I would have been like screeching.
Yeah.
It was that bad. But I think it probably made it worse because I couldn't cry like a child because Baz was next to me and he was going, you need to shut up. You're embarrassing me. Get up. I was like, no, I can't. It's just terrible. That's a really good film, but it will destroy you.
That makes me nervous about watching it.
Yeah, it's... No.
What was... Oh, there was a film I was watching at home. And I was, it was, I didn't, I was only kind of quite newly with my boyfriend. I didn't want
to let it go
silently. It was just streaming down my face. And he sort of saw me and he was like, are you okay? And he was like, is there something you need to tell me?
And you're like, oh, I've got an itchy nose.
Yeah. Get rid of the snot.
I'm just cleansing. Fine. Righto. So is there, anything else that anyone's seen?
On Netflix last week, they put up one of my films that would definitely have a place in my top 10.
Oh, right.
Which, you know, that's quite hard. I don't think I could ever actually really define it, but this would definitely have a place.
Least top 10?
Yeah. The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh.
It's quite an old film. I think it's a 90s film with Woody Harrelson. And it's the story of Larry Flint, who is the publisher of Hustler magazine. And it tells the story from a little bit of his childhood and then when he, you know, the conception of the magazine and then on to, you know, present day, really. It's got Edward Norton in it, Courtney Love. I think Courtney Love got quite a few awards for that performance.
Really?
Yeah, and it's the best performance I've ever seen out of Ed Norton. He's so natural in it, it makes me want to cry just because he's that good.
And he's from Fight Club.
Yeah.
Ed Norton, right, brilliant.
Yeah, and it's just such a good film. Like, it's an oldie, but they've just put it on Netflix, so find it and watch it. It's very good.
Right, we're coming into land for the show, so we're going to do a Facebook Live in a moment. So if you want to see us live in the studio now, go over to my Facebook page, Johanna James, and we're going to be playing our I've got a movie theme song quiz that I'm going to be challenging you guys to.
Oh, exciting.
On Facebook Live. So we're going to pop to a song. This is one of the songs from Moonlight, the movie, the writer I was speaking to earlier on in the show. So we'll be back in like 3:10 precisely. And we're going to get ready to play the game on Facebook Live.
Exciting.
I'm not sure anymore just how it happened before. The places that I knew were sunny and blue. I can feel it deep inside, this black nigger's pride. I have no fear when I say, and I said every day, every nigger is a star. Every nigger is a star. Who will deny that you and I and every nigger is a star? I have walked the streets alone. 20 years I've been on my own. To be hated and despised, no one to sympathize. But there's one great thing I know. You can say I told you so. We've got a bright place in the sun, where there's love for everyone. And every nigger is a star. Every nigger is a star. That you and I and every nigger is a star.
Bright, shining star.
Every nigger is a star.
Bright, shining star.
Every nigger is a star.
Bright, shining star.
Every nigger is a star. Every nigger is a star. We've got a bright place in the sun, where there's love for everyone, and every nigger is a star.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
You're back on FUBAR Radio, Johanna James and Alex.
We are back, Alex Hoban.
And Lucy Patterson.
Hello.
For the last 10 minutes of the show, we're going to go Facebook Live. So hello to everybody at home. Are we Facebook Live yet? Yeah, we are. Hi.
Yes, let me share this.
We are going to be playing a movie theme song quiz. So I'm going to be playing some songs. You guys can guess along at home. And you guys, if you think you know the song, shout out your buzzer.
Pressure.
Okay, and we'll see. We'll see. So let's see if this works. Are you ready? Do you know what movie this song is from? Can you hear?
Yeah.
What movie?
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, one to Lucy.
I'm going to lose at this game so bad.
I think I might have bolted a bit too early there, so
yeah,
you might have a chance.
This is not going to go well.
Okay. Number two.
Walk the Line, Johnny Cash.
Yes.
Oh man, so yeah, that's one. Oh, that's probably the only one.
You got 1 point each.
One all.
Comment below if you know what the song is.
Good film as well.
Oh wait, did? Yeah. Oh okay, sorry. Wait.
Number
it run
three.
Out.
Oh, Hustle and Flow. Hustle and Flow.
Yes.
Such a good film.
Okay. So that's 2-1.
2-1, Lucy.
Number four.
I don't know.
Back
this
to the Future.
One. Yes!
3-1, Lucy is killing me.
3-1 to Lucy. So Lucy
Marty
free.
Marty McFly.
Love that film. Okay, number five. It's a hard one, this one. I'll give you a clue.
Jungle Book.
It's an animation.
Ooh, Lion King. Pocahontas.
I'm just not even naming any.
Lilo and Stitch.
Rio.
I wouldn't know that.
I haven't seen that one.
No.
Number six.
Risky Business.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that with Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Yes.
I hate losing. Anyone that knows me knows that. Losing.
Number seven.
Seven.
Philadelphia.
Oh, Lucy's on the game.
I think you might as well just leave.
Bye. Hey, jokes, I'm back and I'm going to win.
Well, you've still got time to catch up. Okay, yes. You can do this. It goes up. Okay. So that was number seven. So number eight.
Let's go.
How are you doing live?
Top Gun.
No.
Oh, this is pressure. I don't know. Sounds like it might be an action
really
film.
Bad film.
Really bad.
Think really bad.
That's put pressure on me now because I don't want to say something that's actually quite a good film.
Sucker Punch.
We're never going to get that one.
Number nine.
Pulp Fiction.
This is unfair. It's
I'm
her
sorry.
Job.
Another good one.
Number 10.
Oh, Jamiroquai.
Oh my god, I just don't know what film this is in.
What film is in?
It's not that one with the strippers. What's that one?
No.
Full Monty.
I'll give you a clip. It's a guy. It's like.
Austin Powers.
Oh, thank God you didn't get that.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Damn.
Number 11.
You're really exposing a gap in my knowledge here.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Lucy's there. I'm
it
gonna
hadn't
give
even
you that
started.
Point. I'm going to give you a point for Jamiroquai.
There's an issue. Yeah, my headphones is not working. I can't hear anything.
I can't help it.
Yeah, so. It's rigged. It's a conspiracy.
Number 12.
This could be a number of films.
It could be a
Terminator.
Number of, I will take any
Secret of my success.
Yes. Oh. Also, in
Shut
Ferris
up,
Bueller.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just.
Damn it.
Don't know.
No, go. Because I'm never going to get them.
We should say that every time
Sounds
you get
like
one
Mario
wrong,
64.
You have to remove a piece of clothing.
Oh, touche.
13. This is hard.
Edge of 17. Pitch Perfect.
Easy older eye. One. Original.
Ooh, Girl Next Door.
Clueless.
Oh, well, that was a film. Okay, I thought you were saying I was clueless.
14. Can you? We're playing Guess the Movie Theme Tune. Can you guess what this is? Write a comment.
You're probably better than me, I'm going to be honest with you.
Ooh, this is a hard one.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know.
Good Will Hunting.
Ah.
Good Will Hunting.
I've only actually seen that film once.
I knew it.
Six.
It was on the
six
tip
to
of
Lucy.
My
Okay.
Over hill and under tree, through lands where never light has shone.
Clue?
By silver stream.
You look like you have it.
Run down.
I have no idea.
The Hobbit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay. Straight out of Compton.
I can see it in my head.
Straight out of Compton. Another.
Wait, no, I've got it. Office Space. Yes, yes!
I don't even know what that film is. Amazing. She's a real one. Okay, last one. We'll go to.
What's the score? Sorry.
Have you ever seen a one trick pony and feel so happy and free?
Brokeback Mountain.
Have you ever seen a one trick pony and you've seen me?
I don't know.
The Wrestler.
Oh, I've actually not seen that film.
Have you ever seen a
this game is horseshit.
And for the final one, we'll do final one for a bonus 10 points to win the game.
Will Smith, Men in Black. No.
Well,
it says it in the song and I even know I couldn't get it. Bugger.
Oh, well. Well done. Okay.
Well done, Lucy.
Lovely.
Well done. And well done for joining in to see if you got a actors. Have you, you got any of those right? Okay. Oh my gosh, we're coming into land now because Friday is about to begin properly. Friday night, the weekend. Yes. We're gonna officially officiate it. Open.
Excellent.
So you can come back next week, Lucy.
Absolutely.
So make sure that you go out. And you as well, even if you're not coming back. You yes. go watch those movies.
Yes. I will be back at some point, but yes, I'm going out, watching movies, reviewing doing those. The thing, not crying this time.
Excellent.
It's a good job. Good work. It's very healthy.
It is actually quite nice to have a cry every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a release.
Maybe not in public, though.
Yeah, private, preferably.
So just a quick reminder, everyone, to go onto our Twitter and enter our competition. We're running a competition where you can win signed Brotherhood gear. We've got, like, DVD, signed poster, signed... What else is there? The CD, the soundtrack. There we go.
The CD.
Get the CD. You scratch my CD, dude. If you want to win that, just go onto our Twitter and then retweet the competition tweet that we posted earlier. And you can be in for a chance of winning and we'll send it to you and we'll try and get you on the phone if you do win so you can be on the show as well.
Exciting.
Noel is back next week so we can hear about what he's been up to. He's been filming here, there and everywhere. Yeah. Being all important and filmish-like. So Noel's going to be back. So we're gonna try and bring, I'll bring you all the latest entertainment news because there is so much going on so many good films. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And we're 1 week closer to seeing Beauty and the Beast.
I'm so excited.
Alex is also riveted by seeing
Beauty and the Beast.
So excited.
Bring on Emma Watson. That's all I say.
She's one of the one that's not aging weirdly. I saw some pictures from her.
She's
from
totally
like,
a vampire.
She is timeless.
She's I saw pictures from her from like 2007 and 2017, and she's just.
I've never seen skin like it. It's ridiculous.
Just the same. Very weird. Right, we're going to be out. This is Back Row and Chill. Thanks for listening.
See you later. Thank
bye.
You guys.
We're going to end with a bit of Johnny Cash.
Let's do it.
Walk the line.
But
I think actually this is Joaquin Phoenix pretending to be Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay.
Which he did a good job.
Which he did a very good job in. So in that movie. Have a good week, everybody.
Have a good
week.
Here we go.